Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Our special exclusive guest is Joe Buck. And Joe, there may have been times when you wanted to lie there in the fetal position and whimper, but you didn't. I want to share some of the historical landmarks that you were directly involved with. Down the left field line. Is it enough? Gone. There it is. 62. Touch first, Mark. You're the new single season home run king. Floater, center field. The Diamondbacks are world champions. I mean, on and on and on. The Red Sox, have longed to hear it. The Red Sox are world champions. You were part of history. As you look at the impact of being able to do that and knowing the father figure you had who got you into this, tell us, what is it like to be doing essentially your dream?
Well, that is it. I mean, as a kid, I thought so much of my dad and appreciated him so much as not only my dad, but my best friend and somebody who took me around with him everywhere he went, that I never really dreamed of being anything different than I am right now. And, he never pushed me toward it. He never made it so that he was always there to tutor me and always there to tell me how I should be doing something. You know, I broadcast as a kid, really literally, with my dad. I got into the business and I was broadcasting with him when I was 22, 23, 24 years old. And he always treated me, I guess, when we were on the air, as somewhat of a partner and an equal. And I think that kind of led me to have the freedom to get into this thing. So because of that, you know, I enjoy it. I love it. I know that people aren't tuning in to listen to me. I know that people are tuning in to watch these events. And if I can help it along and make it more enjoyable along the way, then great. And if not, then they'll hit the mute button or turn it off.
Well, you're covering the NFL with, I think, one of the two best announcers out there. I think Phil Simms and Troy Aikman are the best because they don't force-feed you too much. But let's stick with the World Series in baseball. I had Bob Costas on, as I mentioned earlier, and we asked him, you know, considering that it's such a great sport, what is wrong with baseball given that the ratings aren't what they used to be? Here's what he said.
I don't think there's anything, or not, at least not much, fundamentally wrong with baseball. But the culture has changed. It's a big event culture, a short attention span culture. And a baseball playoff series takes 7 games to play out. It's not one game like football at a time of the year when people tend to be watching television. If you compare World Series ratings to NBA playoff ratings, they're still much better. Even though it's at a time of the year when school is in session, talking about baseball's postseason, and when the other networks have launched their new programming.
So, you know, you got to try to keep your eye on what you can do, Joe. As you said, you're not the entertainer. You're somebody that facilitates. But still, what's your perspective on the evolution of this big event culture that makes it harder for baseball to compete with the sort of weekly extravaganza that football represents?
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. And Bob's totally right, as he is, all the time. I mean, he hit it right on the head. When you do a World Series, and, you know, we've done it this year with the Cardinals and the Tigers. We did it last year with Houston and the White Sox. We did it even the year before, although the numbers were better because it was the Red Sox, but it was the Red Sox and Cardinals 4 games and out. If you don't get 6, hopefully 7 games, nothing really builds, and it doesn't become that big event that Bob was talking about, like you get with the Super Bowl, where it's one single night, one single game to determine the winner. If you don't get a Game 7, you're going to suffer in the ratings. And he's also right that it's a different time. It's a different era in television viewing. And when you look at the overall numbers of what we're getting, even on a 4-game sweep or a 5-game Cardinal-Tiger series, it's a solid rating and a good number. So everything's relative. Bob's right that, that baseball certainly doesn't measure up ratings-wise to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's not in that world right now. But when you get a 7-game series, it builds over time, and you have that one night, then it becomes something a little more special, I think.
Well, let's get to the World Series itself. And as we look back at Tony La Russa's decision, probably mitigated by such a close relationship with Jim Leyland, it's easy to say he did the right thing by not making a bigger deal about Kenny Rogers. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's true. And I wasn't really all that aware, to be honest with you, Nick, of how much of that stuff was going on, that pitchers would use a pine tar in the postseason colder days because they couldn't grip the baseball. And when I talked to guys, down in the clubhouse, they're like, yeah, that goes on all the time, and nobody cares. I mean, it's a big deal. It became a big deal because Rodgers put it on his pitching hand, and we've got high-definition cameras that are watching him blow into that pitching hand on a cold night, and he can't help but see it. So, you know, the thing landed in our lap as a network. We cover it. We show it. We do before and after shots. And then I think we deserve some credit for moving on. The rest of the world didn't because the next day was the travel day. But when you talk to players, nobody really cared that he had it. They did care that he was foolish enough to put it on his pitching hand for everybody to see. But from La Russa on down, guys really didn't care about it.
And you have a good feeling, of course, with St. Louis. Both you and Costas with your St. Louis roots must help a little bit. Was it gratifying? I remember being in Kansas City in 1985, and so many St. Louis people are bitter about the way that series ended. I was kind of happy about it because at that point the Chiefs were losing about 50 games in a row, and I got to go to watch the Royals and George Brett do something special. But gratifying to see a Tony La Russa, who is such a combination of the technical analysis side of it, but also the feel for the players, which we love to talk about on this show.
Yeah, I think a lot of him. And while it's tough for me because I have to be impartial and I have to split it down the middle and I have to get as excited for Detroit as I do for St. Louis, and I think sometimes do it so much so that people in St. Louis think I'm rooting for the other side, which makes it a little more difficult. But for La Russa to finally get validated here in St. Louis, you know, forever since he first came here, he's been compared to Whitey Herzog. And, you know, those days of the early to mid-80s are long gone, yet that was the standard by which he was measured. So now he has as many world championships in a Cardinal uniform as Whitey had. He's been to the playoffs more times than Whitey was with the Cardinals. And I'm happy for him because, like you say, he's an analytical guy. He pours everything he's got into his daily job, and it means something to him to win it wearing that uniform that represents one of the better, more successful franchises in baseball history.
And there's something to be said with winning with class. Let's switch to Detroit before we move on to the NFL. And Jim Leland and the pitching errors. It's going to be a series I think people will look back and say, I think it was five pitching errors, and that week off may have also hurt them in addition to a young pitching staff.
It was just staggering. I mean, I don't think anybody who's been around the game, certainly I don't qualify, but, you know, I sit there next to Tim McCarver, and I talked to Jim about it. I talked to Leland about it. You know, that was the one thing that they worked on during the break. You know, the pitchers and the first baseman, pitchers fielding their position, they work on that the first thing that when they show up at spring training before the position players get down there, and then it's kind of put off to the side, and it's something that they specifically worked on during that week off, and yet that's what cost them more than just about any other singular part of the game, at least extending that World Series and getting it back to Detroit. I mean, those pitchers' errors were unbelievable, and not even close. I mean, airmailing first base, airmailing third base, dropping.
Not even close.
It just was unbelievable that, you know, talented athletes like that couldn't get off the mound and make a play, and it happened every game of the World Series.
I think that hopefully, I mean, you know, magic is in a bottle is a big part of baseball these days, but getting Gary Sheffield should strengthen that lineup, which just was their hitters were missing. Let's switch to the NFL in the last minute we have here, and a quick quote from Tony Kornheiser. I want your comment about working with NFL players.
We're idiots. I mean, I think athletes are dopes by and large, and in interviewing, because you have two production meetings, you have one Saturday with the home team, you have one Sunday with the visitors. And I grant you that if they bring in four or five players out of a full roster of 53, then maybe you're getting the smartest ones. But I've really been impressed with the study habits of football players, with how much they have to know compared to other athletes in other sports.
Okay, so let's go over very quickly then. Now that you're maybe the best duo with Troy Aikman out there covering the NFL, the difference as you see it when people say football players aren't real smart.
No, I agree with the second half of what he said. I mean, of all the athletes, studying, learning playbooks, getting to know what they have to do on a week-by-week basis, I think by far they're asked to do more than any other professional athlete. And from Troy Aikman on down, I'm more impressed every year meeting these guys. So I disagree with Tony's first part.
Who's your game this weekend?
I have got the Jets and the Bears. You know anything about the Jets?
I know that the Jets are a different team, thank God, than the one I played on. I'll tell you what, I think Mangini is wonderful, and I think that they needed a breath of fresh air, but Chicago showed me character, and I'm picking them now. I'm getting on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm climbing on, too. They showed me something up at the Giants, although the Giants, you know, they're lucky to be able to field a team. They've got so many injuries.
Well, Joe Buck, we know you're busy, but thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll check in with you in a month or two and see how you're doing.
All right, Nick, anytime. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Joe Buck, class act. When we come back, Solomon Wilcox on the NFL and then Seth Joyner. We're talking NFL football Wednesday morning quarterback. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.